Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome into Game Time Decisions. In for Kevin Walsh, I am Adam Kaufman. We got you for the next couple hours with a slew of great guests and certainly Sports Grid regulars on the way. I'm talking Brady Cannon, George Kurtz, Dave Sharapan. We got Joe Madden. We're going to have Mark Zeno. I mean, it is an electric list, and there's very little that we are not going to cover. But most of the emphasis tonight, yeah, we'll sprinkle in a little bit of the NFL draft in the wake of that over the weekend. It is, after all, Monday. Brand new week. Maybe you went away for the weekend. Maybe you weren't as tapped in. Maybe, heaven forbid, you weren't betting it, and you just want to know who's good, who improved, who are the winners, who are the losers, what do the futures odds look like? If we have some time, we'll mix some of that in. But we are going to be heavy on the NBA playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs, and Major League Baseball with a healthy slate on the diamond tonight. And unlike what has been happening in recent days, not that I don't absolutely love me some afternoon baseball, because it gives us things to bet on during the day. I was relegated to betting on tennis today, but largely that was successful, so I'm not complaining. It is nice when everything is happening at once, and a lot of it is going to get started in the next hour or so while we are on here, and then of course throughout the show and even later on after into the evening. So we will give you best bets, tell you where to throw your money around, and hopefully at the end of the day, as my feeling is, and especially, you know, me being a volume bettor, as I've talked about on these shows in the past, just betting on this, that, and everything else, it's just about being green at the end of the day. We want to have as many winning slips as possible and consider the day a success if it is profitable. Let's start really with the playoffs. That's the most important thing. We're on the cusp of May here. It's late April, and so we only have ourselves another month and a half, almost 2 months of playoff basketball and hockey, which means after that, it's going to be all baseball and tennis and some UFC and golf. And I don't know, do people still bet on marble races and darts? I'm not sure. But it's all about the chase for the championship and hoisting a banner and raising a trophy, that Larry O'Brien trophy, of course, Lord Stanley's Cup, and which teams are most equipped to do it. And I don't know if this is just kind of a controversial take to get us started here, but the playoffs have sort of sucked so far. Producer Sam, it has not been good. It's not been good at all. I mean, let's start in the NBA. Let's show the people the bracket and what we are looking at so far. So there you go. You have yourself a Timberwolves embarrassment of the Suns. I took Minnesota lightly. No question about that. I took them for granted. I thought Phoenix was going to win that series, let alone not even put up a fight. So 4-0, Minnesota moves on. Elsewhere, you had, obviously, we've got a collection of teams that have jumped ahead 3-0 in their respective series. The Lakers, who play later on tonight, staved off elimination the other night. So they're down 3-1 to the Nuggets. They're going to lose. Denver, the defending champs, is going to advance. OKC, youngest team in the bracket and just decimating a somewhat injury-plagued Pelican squad. But again, New Orleans not even putting up a fight. The only series, the only legitimate series that we have in the Western Conference features the Clippers because they can't rely on Kawhi Leonard to be on the floor, and the Dallas Mavericks. That one is tied at two. Over in the East, it's been almost equally as bad. You have the Celtics who play tonight and expect them to win this thing probably in five. I realize some people looked at Miami winning game two, despite being a heavy dog, and there's no Jimmy Butler, there's no Terry Rozier, the team is, you know, the ghost of Max Strus, right? Miami went out and hit threes, hit shots at an historic rate. They hit like 55% of their three-pointers. Allow me to be the latest to tell you, because I can't be the first, the latest to tell you that that is not going to happen again. It's just not. It's not. Miami is not going to shoot at an historic rate against Boston. I know Jimmy Butler's done the whole, you know, like joking on social media, don't let us get one and don't count us out. My guys are, you're not coming back, man. Jimmy Butler, if the Celtics, as electric as they were in the regular season, if they were up 2-1 in this series, but you had Jimmy Butler waiting in the wings, potentially returning at some point in time, Boston continued to play with its food, then sure, I would get a little bit nervous, but Butler's not returning, and Rozier probably isn't either. This just comes down to talent. And in the NBA, you know, in the NHL, you can see a team that is riding a hot goaltender or is less talented, but just working best as a unit, hot power play, hot penalty kill, special teams are incredible. Whatever it is, you can see in the NHL, it's not that rare that an 8 seed goes on a run, for instance. In the NBA, and I know this Miami team, although it was not this Miami team, went from an 8 in the East to upset teams along the way, starting with the Bucks, who are going to go down again to the Pacers, by the way, because there's no Giannis. Dame is injured now. Forget it. Milwaukee. Doc Rivers is blame-free in this thing. He is so excited, I'm sure. But this Bucks team is going to go down. Sixers are going to go down to the Knicks, a couple of lopsided series again. And so I don't know who is getting in the Celtics' way in the Eastern Conference until they get to the NBA Finals and inevitably face the Denver Nuggets. But so far, generally here in round one, it has been a dud. I know you got Cleveland and Orlando. They're tied at two, much like the Clippers and Mavericks out west. But honestly, who cares about these two teams? Orlando is just not ready, and Cleveland is too inconsistent. Neither one of them is going to win in the next round. And so in the NBA playoffs, we are looking at just, it feels like, again, inevitability. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but it might be even worse in the NHL. Let's take a look at what that has brought us to at this point here in round one. Again, generally, it has been pretty ugly in terms of what these standings look like. So you have in the West, Vegas, who plays later on. This is an upset in the making. I had Vegas as an 8 to beat the 1, the Dallas Stars, in this series. They're up 2-1, probably win tonight. Colorado having its way with the Winnipeg Jets, up 3-1. Vancouver pounding Nashville, up 3-1. Edmonton all over the Kings, up 3-1. That's in the West. In the East, Panthers trying to do it again. I've got them on the money line, not only the money line, the 60-minute money line tonight. Regulation win against the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are up 3-1. The Bruins, I can't believe Toronto actually stole a game. Bruins are up 3-1 on the Maple Leafs. The Hurricanes, who, you know, yeah, the Islanders and George Kurtz can join us in a little bit. I'm sure he would take exception to some of this, but the Isles don't belong. The Isles, I know they this could be an even series. There's even an argument that New York could be leading this series. But let's be honest with ourselves. Carolina is a dramatically better team than what they've got going on in the island this year anyway. So that's 3-1 series right now. And of course, you know, I didn't mention New York and Washington because it doesn't even bear mentioning. The Capitals have already gone out. Ovi and company didn't even put up a fight. 4-0 sweep. Chris Kreider and everybody else for the Rangers, the Blue Shirts, getting the job done. So we have lopsided series after lopsided series in both of these leagues, and especially in the NHL, in both conferences. I can only hope that in round two things improved as we get more competition and, of course, the better teams advancing. We shouldn't be at all surprised by largely anything that we have seen so far on the ice. But I want George's thoughts on that when Kurtz's going to join us in a little bit. And worthy of mentioning, again, we'll mix in a little NFL draft a bit later on, but Travis Kelce, who's got it better than him right now? He's dating the biggest musician maybe in history and definitely in today's age, in Taylor Swift. He has, you know, won yet another Super Bowl, and now with a new contract and a guaranteed almost $20 million, he is the highest paid tight end in NFL history. I like the pandering, though, from the Chiefs' Twitter account saying we have, you know, given a new...
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Contract, I'm paraphrasing, given a new contract to the greatest tight end in NFL history. Chiefs, Kelce, forgive me, he is not even the best tight end in team history, let alone NFL history. Tony Gonzalez may have a thing to say about that. So we got a lot coming your way here during this show. It's going to be a lot of fun. George Kurtz going to join us when we come back. Talk a little baseball, a little hockey. Hopefully I didn't offend him or piss him off talking about the Isles, but we'll find out.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of course, if you're listening on Sports Grid Radio, channel 159, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, we thank you for that. We're going to be joined momentarily by our buddy George Kurtz and talk some baseball as well as some hockey. Again, we have got a healthy slate on the diamond tonight. Kurtzy, welcome into the show. Of course, you can get George on Twitter, at George Kurtz. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, right? My Islanders stave off elimination. Yankees decide to destroy the Milwaukee Brewers pitching staff. Hey, Zeke Elliott's back with the Cowboys. What could possibly go wrong?
All is right in George's world. Let's begin here with baseball and your Yankees. You mentioned them taking on the Orioles tonight. It's an interesting matchup for sure. I mean, two teams, you know, titans of the American League East, two clubs that have certainly been heavily respected when it comes to who is going to win this division, you know, as we project ahead throughout the year. An Orioles team that has been very good at home, a Yankees team that has been even better on the road. Which way does this one play out?
Yeah, I think this is an interesting series. Now, listen, it's late April, boys and girls. This is not going to tell us much of anything here. It's a long season here, but it's an interesting series for a couple of reasons. The Orioles are going to get back Kyle Bradish and John Means during this series. Neither one's pitching tonight, but Thursday's slot is open. I expect one of them to slot to pitch on Thursday. Maybe one pitches earlier in this series, or maybe one waits till the weekend here. But they're getting back two of their better starters here. So that's good for the Orioles here, right? They need starting pitching depth. The Yankees will be without Alex Verdugo, probably for the first three games of the series as he is on paternity leave. And no big loss, but Verdugo's been hitting for the Yankees. And this also forced them to sort of put Trent Grisham in the line, who hasn't been all that great here. So interesting. Grayson Rodriguez goes against Clark Schmidt tonight. The pitching matchup definitely tells us Baltimore. The question is this, Adam. Do we believe what we saw in Milwaukee? The Yankees wrecked that staff. Just wrecked it, right? Have they broken out now? Is Judge back to being Aaron Judge? Rizzo back to being Anthony Rizzo? Curious tonight. Curious. That being said, Baltimore's the better team. I like the Orioles tonight.
For Grayson Rodriguez, I've seen a lot of people hopping on the over 5.5 strikeouts. Obviously, it's an opportunity for him against a lineup that is fully capable of striking out. We know that. But we haven't seen Rodriguez yet this year. I think one interesting bet with Schmidt, especially on the other side, as you noted, someone who I tend to like to go under on his strikeouts. On BetMGM, you can do a specific matchup bet. You know, don't worry about who's doing what with his over or under, but just who's going to have more strikeouts, Rodriguez or Schmidt. When I was looking at it earlier today, you could get the Rodriguez side of things at, I think it was minus 115. I mean, it was damn close to even money. That I would have looked at it and expected it to be minus 200. And so I'd be curious to know if that's something that you like when looking at this game. It's a bet that I've heavily considered making with this game starting in about 20 minutes.
Well, the Yankees do strike out a lot, right?
All right, so it's hard not to like this. And I don't think they're going to beat up on Rodriguez where he's only going to go 3 1/3 innings, right? I expect him to go minimum 5+. So that's at least 15 now. It's maybe between the 15 and 18 range there. The Orioles might want to protect that bullpen a little bit. Craig Kimbrell is probably not available tonight, so they might allow even Rodriguez to go a little longer here. Kimbrell, they're saying, calling it back tightness, but really he's been an adventure at closer, by the way. He doesn't look like he's nowhere near the Craig Kimbrell at all. So I like this bet. I think I might piggyback this bet with you.
Well, thank you. It means a lot coming from you, my friend. Let's take things to the ice because we'll do more baseball when you join us again a little bit later on this hour. But we have two games happening on the ice tonight. A couple of, one lopsided series, of course, a closeout opportunity here for the Florida Panthers at home against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I already mentioned earlier, I not only took Florida on the money line, I took them on the 60-minute money line, the regulation win tonight, because you could get that at minus 120 now, pretty much across the board. Saw it at minus 115 earlier. There's just no or less value anyway in betting them to allow for the extra time win. It's certainly a possibility. I don't expect Tampa to just go lightly, but do you think Florida finishes the job here?
Now, listen, you can make a pretty strong argument here. You can say this about the Islanders and Carolina series, too, that it should be 2-2, right? It's sort of unfortunate for Tampa that it's only 3-1. I mean, let's face it. If Bobrovsky doesn't make that swim-saving move on Matt Dumba, we are 2-2 here, right? Instead, Verhaeghe won it in overtime there for Florida. That being said, I think Florida, it's at home, game five. They're going to be feeding up the crowd here. I think they want the extra rest, too. And you want to put Tampa Bay away as soon as you can. You don't want to lose tonight and go at the game six to Tampa. But then you're risking a game seven here where anything can happen here. Bobrovsky has played just really out of this world here. Vasilevsky, for the most part, has not. Kucherov has been good, but not great. I think Florida does end it tonight. I kind of think this is a one-goal game. That's really where I feel about this. 3-2. It's sort of like what happened in Vegas the other night. I bet the Vegas overtime the other night. Got it, right? Was it 2-2 or 3-3? I feel the same thing here. Is it 3-2 or is it 4-3 here? I think we're going to get a more of a low-scoring game, 3-2, your final here. Florida moves on.
You mentioned Vegas, George. Let's go there. This is an opportunity for Vegas at home to go up 3-1. As we know, we've talked about it. There's, maybe no better home ice advantage than what exists out there in Nevada. This team has, of course, jumped out to, it was a 2-0 series lead. Dallas, was able to cut the deficit in half last time out. This is a 1-8 matchup where Dallas is the superior team in terms of seeding, but I liked Vegas coming into the series. I continue to like the Golden Knights to win it, the defending champs. But do we get a best of three after tonight?
Man, Dallas dominated that game the other day. That game should not have gone to overtime. All right. Thompson played out of his freaking mind, which is kind of ironic because, the game-winning goal, not so good. He pulled away from the post and got small. He made it too easy for them here. If Dallas plays that way again, they're going to win. They're going to tie this thing up. I think Dallas is the better team, but beating Vegas at home twice, I didn't see that. I thought they would go back to Dallas down 3-1. I'm going to stick with that. I'm not going to change my mind now. I think Vegas plays much better tonight, maybe game two at home. They won't be sort of relaxing as much here. I think they get the win. I think it's another close game, a little puck luck here and there. But I think we're going to go back to Dallas 3-1. So Vegas pulls out the win, but another close one tonight. But a little bit more high scoring. I'm going to go 4-3.
George, we only got you about 20 more seconds here. Is there a player prop in either of these games you like tonight?
I'm going to go with Matthew Tkachuk to score a goal. Anytime goal for Matthew Tkachuk.
All right, we're going to do a lot of baseball with George Kurtz. He's going to rejoin us a little bit later on this hour. When we come back, Mark Zeno will be
here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals. You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
John, we'll get into the NBA.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back here on Game Time Decisions. We are going to have Mark Zeno here with us in just a moment, talk through some NBA these next couple of segments. Of course, the playoffs roll on. There are three games happening tonight, as touched on just a little while ago. So the Celtics at the Heat, that one begins a little over an hour from now, even more than that, obviously, with these games never starting on time. Boston up 2-1 in that series. Thunder at the Pelicans, that is an 8:30 Eastern game, with OKC trying for the sweep in that one. Much respect to what SGA and company are doing. You know, what a star wants, what a star needs, right? And the Lakers at the Nuggets, 10 p.m. Eastern, Denver up 3-1 in that series. Well, will it be a LeBron night? Mark Zeno is here with us. You know him from Sports Grid. He's on all the time. I was on with him, as a matter of fact, on his show with Drew Martin last night. Mark, how are you, bud?
Adam, great to be with you as always. Exciting for another another NBA playoff night here. You know, it's crazy because these three games a night are going to start to dwindle down very quickly within the next week, right? We're going to start to scatter these things out and spread them out, and you're only going to get one or two games a night, if that, as we start to draw out the NBA playoffs for some ungodly reason.
That makes me sad. You know, that's a real grinchy little reminder of what's happening here, Mark.
And they're not going to crown a champion until the middle of June. Like, the playoffs have started. We're not going to crown a champion until the middle of June.
Yeah, I don't know why. Other than, I guess, the whole, like, building availability angle, I don't know why you ever need two games between series in both NBA and NHL. I mean, it's not like these guys are you know, flying commercial and have to, you know, stretched. Oh, they're uncomfortable. They're not eating well. I mean, this is five-star everything across the board. Flights, food, hotels. I mean, really, let's speed it up a little bit. You're right. I mean, this thing does not need to bleed into damn near July. But that's the way it goes each and every year. Tell you what, though, the Celtics would like a little time off. They'd like to make relatively quick work of the Miami Heat, see if they can get themselves a gentleman's sweep. But first, they need to go up 3-1. It's 2-1 set in South Beach. Boston favored by 10.5 points. I have already bet the Celtics to cover in this game. I think the Seas, at least as far as Miami goes, are done playing with their food, as we saw in game two. I don't believe we're going to get another historic performance shooting wise, especially from 3-point range, out of the Miami Heat. What are your expectations in this one?
Well, I tend to agree with you. I mean, you have to ask the question, where does the Miami offense come from? Like, if they're not going to shoot 60% from the field and 55% from three, where does the Miami offense come from? How do they generate it? So I lean in the same direction you do, that the Celtics should cover this number. What is interesting, and you know, we talked a little bit about this last night, I still can't get over the fact that the Celtics are a team that averages 90 attempts per game during the regular season. In the three games against the Heat, they've taken 82, 80, and 82 attempts in the game. Like, if the Celtics really want to run away with this thing, I think that number needs to go up. They need to start pushing 85, 86. And from my math, as long as the Celtics make about 13 or 14 three-pointers, they should have no problem covering this number. This is a team that averaged 16.5 three-pointers per game during the regular season, by far the biggest number in the NBA. The last two games, they've hit 12 and 11, and that's been a problem for them. So if Boston has this regression, this positive regression to their regular shooting numbers during the regular season, they should be able to cover this number easily. And as all these series, Adam, have gone on deeper, we're starting to see a little bit more of the shooting numbers normalized to what they were during the regular season.
So Boston is – I'm looking at FanDuel right now. Boston is a minus, and I remind you, Mark, this is only a 2-1 series lead, but this speaks to obviously who these teams are and the talent gap between them. Boston is a minus 100,000 favorite to win this series. And I'm looking just to see, other than going game by game, obviously, if there is any sort of value from a series perspective to bet this thing. And there, unless you believe in Miami ever so slightly, there really isn't. And what I mean by that is, let's just say Boston continues to roll. You're like, yeah, I'm going to bet Boston in five. Surely there's value in that, right? I'm giving you the correct score. Nope. Minus 430. Unless you believe that Miami is going to steal another one, be it Boston, again, lazily playing with its food, or the Heat are just that good on that night, absent Jimmy Butler, and then Boston figures it out and wins 4-2, you can get certainly a good number on that. That's plus 430. But what that tells you, obviously, and I don't need to educate you on this, the books are telling you Miami is done, dead right now.
Yeah, and by the fact that they keep posting a double-digit number here on the road, it's the same sort of inference that the books have no faith in Miami at this point, especially without Jimmy Butler.
Well, speaking of teams that have already effectively moved on, like the Boston Celtics, the Oklahoma City Thunder, punch that ticket. They're like Minnesota. It's done. We're going to talk about it when we come back with Zinno.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Kaufman, Zinno back with you talking NBA playoffs. We have got the Thunder and the Pelicans tonight. Of course, there's no Zion Williamson, banged up for New Orleans, as has been the case. And the Thunder, despite their commercial with Chet and SGA pissing everybody off on social media on a nightly basis throughout these playoffs, the team is electric and a ton of fun to watch on the floor, I'll tell you that. And it blew my mind, Mark, when I was looking at the line for this game, because I realized back in game one, Oklahoma City squeaked by 2-point win. But since then, we have seen basically two 20-point wins. And tonight, 4.5-point spread. And sure, it's in New Orleans, but please, 4.5 points? Is there any universe in which OKC does not close this thing out and get the sweep just like the Timberwolves did against the Suns last night?
Yeah, I think they cover it too. Look, I mean, this is the way I look at it. If you took OKC off the front of the jersey, and you took New Orleans off the front of their jersey, right? And you forgot about the fact that OKC is the youngest team, to make the playoffs in however many years it is. You got rid of all that, and you just looked at the raw numbers of what Oklahoma City does offensively and defensively, and then what New Orleans does offensively and defensively. You'd look at it and go, well, it makes sense that that one seed is up 3-0 over the 8 seed. They're markedly better. They are an incredibly much better team than that 8 seed. They should be up 3-0. And if you look at it through that lens, you understand why we are where we are. Yes, New Orleans' best opportunity was to steal game one to make a series out of this. They didn't do it. It was the one game where you saw the shooting nerves from OKC, where they didn't have their best offensive game, and New Orleans was able to keep it close and take advantage. But they have been completely overmatched in the two games since. I think they'll be completely overmatched tonight. I like the Thunder here. The line's up to 5 now, so you got to start to be careful as you start to float into that range here when you get to 5.5, if you haven't already bet it, that like, hey, these numbers may matter when it's all said and done. But for the most part, yeah, I think OKC is the right side tonight.
Well, or, I know George Kurtz was just on with us. He'll be on with us again later this hour. Much like George, you go all poly parlay and just, pair together the money line for the Celtics and the Thunder. And it's not going to be an even money bet, but you want to, take the stress of sweating spreads out of it with especially Boston with a double-digit spread. Do something like that. Get yourself in the minus one, whatever range that it is. I could pull it up and see what exactly it is, but you could pair those two together. Think about it that way. The one that is maybe a little bit of a, all right, well, let's just see what the LeBron James and Anthony Davis-led Lakers do here in what could be the grand finale of their season. This game against the Denver Nuggets tonight, it is in Denver again. So, you got a 6.5-point line as I'm looking at it right now with Denver favored. Of course, the popular play throughout this series after, the Lakers, as we know, stole this last game, never relented when it looked like Denver was going to come back as it had each of the first three games. It was Lakers lead at the half. Denver comes back to not only win, but cover. Again, that had happened the first three games, did not happen the last time out. I don't know what the right way, you tell me, the right way to play the spread is in this one, or if you want to do a half full bet, that type of thing. The bet that I really like is over 26.5 points for LeBron James, because even if the Lakers go down, and I think they will, I don't think he goes down quietly.
I mean, look, you can't bet Denver in the first half. I mean, suppose you can. I've bet Denver in the first half twice in this series and have come up empty both times, so I'm not doing that again. They should be leading at half at some point, but they've trailed at halftime in all four of these games. So, if you'd like to bet on the Lakers once again to, end up leading at half, that might not be a terrible bet, especially since you're probably going to get 3-3.5 points. I think that may be worth it. But what we've seen, is that the Lakers are fading in the second half, particularly the games in Denver, whether it's the altitude, lack of oxygen, call it whatever you want. But in reality, look, Denver is a much better team. I said repeatedly, I thought that Denver was going to sweep them. Obviously, that didn't happen. But there's nothing the Lakers do better in the game of basketball than the Nuggets. They just don't. Like, the Lakers are not good enough to beat Denver. Denver can only beat themselves. That means they have to have a night where they don't shoot well. They have to have a night where they give up too many points and they don't play good defense. Like, that's the way the Lakers will win another game here in this series. Otherwise, it's Denver's here. I lay it with Denver or it's Lakers money line. I think those are the only two plays you take. I wouldn't take the 7.5 or 6.5, whatever the number is. It's just not worth it because I don't see a game script developing where the Lakers are fighting, you know, to a last second victory and, or the, you know, Denver's fighting to a last second victory. If Denver's going to do enough to win this game, they're going to pull away because they're markedly better.
Tell you what, though, man, if you did want to do the Lakers lead at the half and the Nuggets win the game, that half full bet, as we saw in games 1, 2, 3, you're getting basically 5-1 on that. It's a good number if you think that history repeats itself for the fourth time in 5 games in this series. I do want to just, you know, quickly look ahead to tomorrow with one game because news has come out, and that is Giannis, of course, is doubtful for the Bucks, and Damian Lillard, once again, is doubtful for the Bucks. And so it's the Bobby Portis and Chris Middleton-led squad in trying to stay alive against Indiana. As far as I'm concerned, the series is over. I bet Indiana to win the series before it even started. But, you know, this is just a train wreck of a series for Milwaukee in the second straight year. You know, looking at injuries, and you know, you go out, you think it's going to be a great year, you acquire Damian Lillard and you make Giannis happy and all of that, and it's, you know, same result even after firing the coach.
Tough sell for Milwaukee here. I bet the Pacers to win this series as soon as the news that Giannis was going to be out was definitive, and I think I got it at plus 110 at the time. Wasn't a great number, all things considered, that there was a higher number out there. But the Pacers, again, another team that's starting to normalize with their regular season shooting. I mean, they have not shot well in this series, save game 4, which they did last night, and were able to take advantage. But, you know, this, again, is one of these spots here where I don't know that I necessarily believe that there's enough firepower with Milwaukee. I mean, Bobby Portis getting ejected certainly did not go well for the Milwaukee Bucks. The one defender that they had and the one wing player that they had, they just lost. So that makes things very difficult for them. But all things considered here, I don't know that there's enough offensive firepower. And I tell you what, you know, I'm curious to see what they did with the total. I didn't even check yet, Adam, but you saw all that scoring outburst without Giannis and Dame on the floor. Guess what? Indiana doesn't really have to worry about playing defense all that much because it's not really a ton of shooters out there that they need to worry about. So we saw the pace pick up. We saw the scoring pick up on both ends. And I'm curious to see how much they adjusted that total for game 5 between these two teams.
Yeah, and it's a light spread. 4-point favorites, the Pacers in Milwaukee. I'm inclined to bet Indiana to cover because I think that number is only going to climb once Dame is officially ruled out. But just to mix in some NFL, I was talking earlier about how we were going to get to the draft just a little bit. And I know that you and I are in agreement in thinking the Falcons, it was just malpractice, you know, general manager malpractice to go out and take Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall, you know, first pick, obviously, that they had. He goes by a different name on the Falcons Twitter account, if anybody saw that on social media earlier. But I just, yeah, you know, what is,
oh my God.
Yeah, I mean, that's a disaster. Poor intern, you know, probably having to beg to keep his job in that situation. But this team, this doesn't have to be a distraction this year. It will be if Cousins is slow to rehab, obviously, from this injury, and Penix is lighting it up in training camp or something like that. I just, why even put Kirk Cousins in this position, especially when you're Atlanta management, you're the front office saying that, yeah, if Penix sits for, you know, a few years, 4 to 5 years, that's a good problem to have. No, this is a disaster in waiting.
I don't know that there is any other window that they can get out of this with other than Kirk Cousins playing really well and then deciding to retire on his own and walk away. Like, how do you bench Kirk Cousins if you go to the playoffs in back-to-back years?
No, I'm with you. It's going to be really interesting to watch. And look, the Falcons, they've got some talent. Maybe they're a playoff team, especially in that division. Mark Zeno, Mark, thanks so much, man. We'll talk again soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
George Kurtz rejoins us here on Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. Kaufman back with you. Thanks to Mark Zeno. A lot of great thoughts from him on the NBA playoffs and how to bet those games that we have coming up tonight, as well as, of course, that Milwaukee-Indiana game tomorrow. Kurtz, what you do with your 20 or so minute break? You take the dog for a walk?
No, the dog goes for a walk later on after the Yankee game tonight, okay? She goes between the Yankee game and between sports rage, okay? She knows when her time is. It has to be dark. She likes to go nighttime here. I watched the Yankee game, right? The Yankees, other than a Judge single, the Yankees went down quietly in the first inning here. Still scoreless in Baltimore and no score in the Washington-Miami game either, the other game that's currently being played.
All right, let's talk about some of the games that are still to come, obviously, and there are a lot of them this evening. Let's begin with the Royals at the Blue Jays with Rodriguez against, Bowlen on the mound. I'm not even familiar with this pitcher. I'll tell you what, though. They have my support as an offense because I bet the Royals on the money line in this game. I also bet the under in this contest. How do you look at this game?
Boy, betting the under in Toronto is normally I would say you're out of your mind here, but the Blue Jays don't hit in Toronto. I don't get it. You know, they brought the fences in. It's a joke of a ballpark here, right? That ballpark was small before they brought the fences in. Now it's a little league park here. But the Jays, for whatever reason, don't hit. No Bichette tonight, right? He has the night off here. I'm kind of with you. I didn't bet it, mind you. I'm not going to here, but I do like the Royals tonight. Even though I said I don't know much about Bowden either. Really, don't know much about Rodriguez also, which is probably why I shy away from the under. You wonder if it's going to be more of a bullpen game than anything else here. But I do like the other Royals tonight. The Royals are playing playing pretty well in the early going, and I think they can hit. Not worried about the hitting. I do wonder about the pitching as the season moves along here.
Historically speaking, when I bet on the Mets, it goes the other way, and I have bet the Mets on the money line tonight, so that should tell you the Cubs are going to win this game. If you're thinking about how you want to bet it, it's another one that I bet the under in, but the bet that I spread things around. I'm volume better, as I've talked about, but the bet that I really like in this game that I have placed more on, of that grouping, is the under on strikeouts for Luis Severino. It's sitting at 5.5. I know he's burned me before, but I like the under there. Did you delve into the K props in this game or at all?
No, I did not. By the way, it is now 1-0 Orioles as we have a leadoff home run for who else but Gunnar Henderson here. So not starting off well here. But then again, I'm on the Orioles, so it may not be the worst thing on the planet. Gunnar Henderson, leadoff home run there. It's funny you mentioned that. The Mets have been pretty much my bugaboo team as well here, where if I bet them to win, they lose. If I lose, they win. They always seem to screw me over here. And I'm on them tonight too. All right, I'm on the Mets tonight as well here. Got a big win in extra innings yesterday over the Cardinals there. Cubs, no Bellinger, no Suzuki. You know, I do wonder if they'll struggle so much. I'm actually going to the Met-Cub game on Thursday. Lucky me. Nice. So I think the Mets get up to a good start to the series here. They win tonight.
Rays and Brewers. Wilson's K-prop was 4.5 when I wanted to bet it. By the time I got to it, it had already dropped down to 3.5. So the expectations are not high for him to get the strikeouts tonight. But this is another one, under season, I guess. I bet under. It was 8.5 at the time when I bet it. It's down to 8, I think, in most places. I also bet Milwaukee on the money line at home. I just think that they are ultimately superior in this matchup. But how do you read it?
I'm sorry. Didn't the Rays just get swept by the White Sox? I believe they did. I'm not betting on the Rays. All right, that ain't happening. I mean, that's a terrible team. You just got – I mean, they had 3 wins going into that series, and they doubled it up against you. You can make an argument that Pepio is their best starter, but even if you believe that, we're not talking an A starter here. For what it's worth, the Sox do have their A starter, right? Not the Sox. The Brewers – it's not Peralta, but it can't be any worse than what they threw against the Yankees all weekend. All right, so I'm with you. I'm on the Brewers as well here. The Rays just can't hit right now. They can't hit. They're struggling, though, as like there's no tomorrow right now. They can't hit. I do like Pepio, but You know, I like the Brewers in this game as well. Until the Rays prove to me they can do something, they're struggling too much. We'll see what happens once they get Josh Lowe back. Maybe he'll be their savior, but I have a hard time believing that also.
Dodgers and Diamondbacks are an interesting one, if for no other reason than the inconsistency that we've seen from Los Angeles so far this year, this, you know, widely assumed future World Series champ after all the offseason moves. They've kind of, by expectation anyway, stumbled out of the gate. This isn't a team that looks like it's going to win 110 games, I guess is what I'm saying. I bet Arizona on the money line tonight, if for no other reason than I like the plus number. You know, you can get them at home, obviously. It was plus 115 a little bit earlier. You see 114 on your screen right there. What do you think?
It's Henry versus Paxton. My first look was the over. What's the over? And it's up to 10. All right, that's pretty high. Not so sure I'm going to be thrilled about going the over there. But I was hoping to be maybe 9, 9.5. I probably would have hit the over. I think runs are coming tonight. So I think you might want to look at total base props here. Maybe Mookie Betts, Ohtani, Freeman, any one of those guys. Maybe all of them. Maybe you just want to run the board here. You play all three, they're probably you get plus money somewhere. If you get all plus money at all three, you only need to hit two, and there you go. So that's probably how I'm going to attack this. I kind of like – you know, it's funny. If you were asked a month ago, Dodgers playing, Diamondbacks are getting plus 134 against Tommy Henry – minus 134 against Tommy Henry. We're all jumping on that because we thought the Dodgers are going to win 17,000 games, and we're going to take that and run here. Now we're not as sure because they're not – I think they're just bored. I think they're already bored yet. That's my theory here. Maybe you want to take plus 118, minus 1.5. I think the Dodgers win the game. I just have to. But it is a long trip. They were in Toronto, now Arizona. Maybe that hurts a little bit here. I just don't like the pitching matchup for Arizona. I'm not a big Henry guy here. It's my only hesitation, or else I probably would have taken them with you. But I'm going to be big on the props. It's total base props on the Dodgers.
Staying out west, northwest in this particular case, it is the Mariners at home against the Braves, Miller against Fried. I went under on Miller's strikeout prop. It was 5.5 a little bit earlier, might still be. I didn't bet a side in this one. I'm just not entirely sure how to read it. What about you?
I think that's fair. We don't know. Is Max Fried back? Right, he had a good start last time, but before that, he wasn't very good at all. Is he back to being Max Fried? I don't trust him either. I don't know if I trust Miller yet either. Once again, it's early in the season. We're still getting these guys up to par here. It's hard not to lean the Braves. Once again, long, cross-country trip makes me think that's going to be a lower-scoring game. I kind of like the under in this game, my favorite play.
George, before we let you go, you have a favorite play tonight in general?
A favorite play in general, I think Mookie Betts is getting over 1.5 total bases. He's done it all season long. I see no reason why he's not going to beat up on Tommy Henry tonight. You want to bet an Ohtani home run prop? I like that as well.
Saw the video of Betts out there in the field 5 hours before the game working out. Why can't the Red Sox sign guys like that? George Kurtz, thanks, pal.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to George Kurtz. A little split action from him. A Zinno sandwich, you might say. A lot of great stuff out of Kurtz. He's talking baseball as well as pucks. We're going to keep the puck talk going here and mix in the diamond as well with our own Joe Madden. Of course, another regular across Sports Grid programming. Just for me to say the name, you know exactly who I am talking about. Joe, it's good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing good, Adam. So excited for these two games on the ice tonight. It's been an exciting first round of the playoff series. Hats off to the New York Rangers for being able to get that win yesterday. It's been super exciting out there on the ice.
I mentioned this earlier, though, in the opening segment of the show, that having the playoffs felt a little underwhelming to you so far, just in that every series – basically, I mean, the one's already done, as you said, with the Rangers winning, and really every single series, it hasn't been contested thus far. You know, 3-1, almost across the board in many cases. I know it could very well be the same if Vegas goes on and wins tonight. You got the Panthers trying to close out the Lightning tonight. It would have been nice here in the opening round to feel like we were going to see some Game 7s, and I don't think we're going to get there.
Things aren't done yet. I think we could see a couple of these series go all the way to Game 7. I know it's so hard for these teams that are down 3-1 right now to push it back all the way to 7, but I'm not counting anything out at this point. All of these teams have so much to play for, and we look at tonight's series, Adam, and I think the Lightning might have a chance.
All right, well, let's talk about that one. What do you like about Tampa in this game?
You look at the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they're coming in here with Andrei Vasilevskiy in net, and he's just been brilliant in his career in elimination games with a save percentage of 9.26. I do think in this one, the Florida Panthers, they know they can't get into the game that the Tampa Bay Lightning were able to play in that last game, and I do expect that lockdown on defense out of the Florida Panthers, but also for the Tampa Bay Lightning to come out nice and strong in this one. We've seen Stamkos be able to find the back of the net, lighting that lamp in every single game out there so far in this series. And in a couple of these games, he's had those two goals. So I'm looking for him to come out nice and strong, be able to find the back of Bobrovsky's net. But I really do think this game, lower scoring game, both of these teams locked down on defense, both goaltenders stand nice and tall, but Tampa, with their backs against the wall, has every opportunity to win. And at this price, at plus money, I'm willing to take a chance on them here. Now, the Florida Panthers are incredibly strong. I would hate to see this series get closed out early, but I do think if there's a chance, you know, the Florida Panthers finishing it off, I don't think if they win it, though, it's in regulation. I'm looking at this game also to go to overtime here, Adam.
Most of the handle and the money on the under 6.5 goals in this one. So that's where you lean as well?
Yeah, I definitely think this one stays under that total. The only fear is if it gets pushed 3-3 and going to overtime and us hitting that 7. But I'm more likely to see this one 2-2 than going to overtime and hitting 5 goals. So I could even see ulting it to under the 5.5 because I do think defense and goaltending show up.
The nightcap, it's just a two-game slate that we have. Of course, as Mark outlined earlier, that's going to be the norm here pretty soon across both the NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. But Dallas Stars, top seed, trying to even up this series with the Golden Knights after Vegas took both games in Dallas, now just trying to split at home to take it back to Dallas. Which way does this one go?
Vegas leading the series 2-1 has been an underdog in every single one of these games. And I know the Stars were able to win that last game, something I didn't expect in the Fortress in the first game on Vegas's ice. But I do think Vegas takes the lead again tonight, getting another win here. I'm willing to take them at this plus money at plus 104, expecting a big game out of Jack Eichel, Mark Stone. Jake Oettinger looked great in that last game. Vegas was able to get those shots on him. And the Stars came out with a ton of shots themselves on Logan Thompson. I'm expecting the defense and goaltending to stand up for Vegas. So give me the Vegas Golden Knights here on the money line. And another low scoring one. Give me the under 5.5 in this one, Adam.
Interesting. I was going to ask you about that because you look at the splits and they are pretty split. I mean, it's almost 50-50 in terms of the over and the under, which obviously makes this 5.5 goals a very efficient line. But what has you lean lower scoring? Just the, I don't know, desperation intensity of the playoffs?
Yeah, the intensity here. We really need to see these teams really start showing up on the defensive side of the puck. And I think we'll see that. In that last game, Wyatt Johnson, he's not even 21 yet, Adam, got the leading goal for the Stars and the overtime goal. I just don't see a player standing out like that again in this game tonight.
When I was on the cusp of 21, Joe, I sure as hell was not participating in the Stanley Cup playoff game. I'll tell you that. I wouldn't do it anything noteworthy, but I am talking to Joe Maddon, baseball on the way.